Good morning, my beloved church family. I kind of want to move a little closer to you this morning. Many of you came through our parking lot and were greeted by some neighbors who were speaking hateful words. And I just want to celebrate this loving community of faith and to say to those of you who were particularly targeted by their hate and by their language, that we embrace you, and may this time together be a space of grace and love and a reminder of our belovedness. And may we be ever more committed to our mission to share God's unconditional love with all people. We got back late last night, some of us who went on the pilgrimage to Montgomery and visiting some of the civil rights sites and hearing the stories of the freedom riders and those who crossed the bridge at Selma and their commitment to nonviolent resistance and the strength they had to hear things being shouted at them and yet stay committed because they were people of gospel faith, and that's who we are as well. So I just wanted to say that out loud to let you know it may be that one of them or a few of them choose to join us in worship and may try to disrupt our time together. And taking a clue from our brothers and sisters and neighbors in the civil rights movement, I'd like for us to just start singing if that happens. Maybe Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If anybody else gets inspired with another song, we'll do that. What better way to respond than with songs of faith and songs of love? Can we take just a moment to pray together? And then I told my husband, I feel like scrapping my sermon and doing something different. And he said, don't let somebody else set your agenda. So I'm going to go ahead with the sermon I had prepared. We're going to go on with worship. We're going to go on being the loving people God calls us to be. But before we do that and lead into the announcements, I need a moment of prayer. So let's pray together. God of love and grace, mercy and transformation, justice and hope, as we gather in this sanctuary together, as we welcome those who are joining us over live stream, we feel that we are held in your very heart. May each one of us who is present in this time know at our deepest core our own belovedness. You have called us by name, and you love us. You have called us together as a people, as a congregation, with a mission and a witness in this city and beyond. May we never falter from that mission. May love, your love, strengthen us and give us courage and be our guide in all things. And for all those who have been wounded and shaken by the words they have heard this morning, give them strength and peace and courage and comfort. And help us all to love you more and love one another more fully this day and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So welcome. I'm glad to see all of you, and I would encourage and invite everyone in the sanctuary and over live stream to let us know you're with us, if you'll register your attendance in the registration pads or through the link on the live stream. That will give us a great chance to know that you were here, and we're trying to keep track of that so we know where folks are and we can continue to love on you. Just a few, a lot of announcements. We have a lot of great things going on. The summer town hall is at 9:45 this morning up in the 4-story theater. We're going to be sharing a little bit about annual conference and the God-sized dreams, which you have in your bulletins this morning as an insert. These are four sort of vision statements around different areas of ministry that our Project Thrive team put together out of all the conversations we had with you. So these are your dreams inspired by God that we're hoping can guide our work together in the months and years ahead. In your bulletin, there are two QR codes, but there's one particularly connected to a survey that we want everyone to participate in, answering questions about your worship experience. If you'd rather not do it digitally, Lauren Lesturgeon is going to be in the library after this service, and she can help you with that process. We want to hear from everyone around that. The first weekend of August, next Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m., we're going to have an opening of an art show that will be up all during the month of August. It's the Daybreak Art Show, and these are artists currently or formerly experiencing homelessness. And we're really excited about this art show and hope you'll take the opportunity to slowly go through that exhibit. August 14th is Promotion Sunday, so if you have a child or a youth, make sure and get that on the calendar. That will be a really good Sunday to get them here to meet their new Sunday school teachers, and we'll do a blessing of the school year on that Sunday during worship. And on August 24th, our Wednesday night programming will start up. We'll have dinners, and you can go ahead and make a standing reservation for Wednesday night dinners if you would like. We're going to launch a new worship experience in the evenings, and we're really excited about that as well, and children's choirs, and lots of opportunities to connect. So stay on top of these events, and be sure and make this part of your practice as we head into the fall together. This morning, we are exploring Jesus' parable of the rich fool to see what he might have to teach us about who we're called to be in relationship with our possessions, in relationship with God and others. So let us open ourselves to worship the God of unconditional love this morning.
Thank you. Let us worship the Creator of the heavens and earth. Let us worship Jesus, our teacher and friend. Let us worship the Spirit of abundance. Let us open our hearts to worship God. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the perfect love of God, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. God of compassion, we come before you this day to ask forgiveness when in our excesses we consume more than our share, while others go with basic needs unmet, when we are blinded by our affluence and fail to reach out in care and concern, when we are overwhelmed by desires to acquire and consume more than we need, when possessions cloud our view of you and your gracious love. Forgive us, merciful God. Turn our hearts toward you and help us to reach out in service to others, that we might enjoy the riches of generosity, love, joy, and peace. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let's exchange signs of reconciliation and love. In the sanctuary, you may do that however you feel comfortable. If you're joining us online, please exchange signs in the chat or send a text message or exchange with someone you are watching with. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children. If you are in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. And we'll imagine your faces. Welcome, everybody. Wow, look at all of you. This is wonderful. I'm so glad to see you. Welcome, welcome. All right, have a seat. I want you to pretend with me and imagine that I have a big apple tree here. This is my apple tree. It's in my little space here. And I pick apples and I have a nice big bucket full of apples. I'm really excited that I get to eat all of these apples. They're all mine and I'm so excited I won't be hungry for a long, long time. So let's pretend I go to sleep, I wake up, and then in the morning there are even more apples, that all of these apples on the tree. And so I think to myself, look at all these apples that I get to enjoy. I think I need a bigger bucket. So I set this bucket aside, and would you mind helping me pick these apples? Just, you know, let's pretend if you could pick some apples for me and put them in my bucket. Yeah, just toss them here in the bucket. Oh, whoop, that one got me in the nose. It's okay. Didn't hurt. Ah, that's great. Oh, look at this big pile of apples that I get to enjoy. Oh, it's so heavy. I'm going to set it over here. Ugh. And I'm going to save these apples for me because I know I'm going to be hungry a little later. So anyway, I forgot to say something, didn't I? Thank you. Thank you for helping me pick my apples. I think I forgot something else, too. There's no way I can eat all these apples. That would give a big old tummy ache if I ate all these apples.
That is true.
It is true. That would really give me a tummy ache. So maybe I should do something different. Maybe I should share my apples. Maybe I should say thank you to God for helping this tree make so many apples. And since I have so many, I could share them with you and I could share them with everybody. And you know what? I think really that would make me a lot happier to see everybody enjoying all of these apples. And I think God would be pleased with that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for all of our blessings. Help us to be grateful to you and help us to share what we have, because sharing makes us so much happier than keeping things just to ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can return to sit with family or friends. That's so beautiful. Love all of these children. What I tried to do with you all, you children just now, was to retell the story that Jesus told, the parable that for centuries Christians have called the parable of the rich fool. Now, when I think about this rich fool, I think he's a little bit cartoonish. In fact, he reminds me of a particular cartoon character. If you're a fan of The Simpsons, you're aware of Monty Burns. I looked at his name is Charles Montgomery Plantagenet Schlicksberger Burns. And in the Simpsons world, he is the owner of the nuclear power plant in Springfield. Homer Simpson works for him. He is a multimillionaire, maybe even a billionaire. And he's a stereotype, a two-dimensional stereotype of a greedy, cold-hearted, slightly ridiculous rich person. And in one episode, he and Homer are sitting there talking, and Homer says, "Mr. Burns, you're the richest guy I know." And Mr. Burns says, "Yes, but I'd trade it all for a little more." And that's how I see this rich man in this parable. The things he'll do just for a little more, just a little more. Jesus offers him up as an example of greed. And greed is that desire within us, within all of us, I think, for just a little more. If I could just have a little more, then I'd be happy. Then I'd be set for life. Then it would be. So he tells this parable. And on the first reading, on the first sort of quick, shallow reading, I see this rich fool and I see Monty Burns. But then I scrape down to the next level of the parable and I start to see myself a little bit. As I look at the actions of this rich man in the parable, I'm not sure I get what the problem is. In some ways, he seems like a good businessman, a wise financial manager. He has this land that he owns, that he manages, and one year the harvest is much more than he expected. He has this abundant harvest, and so he tries to decide, how am I going to manage this? What do I do with this abundance? I guess I'll need to store more of it. I need to build bigger barns so I can hold on to it and save it. Is saving such a bad thing? Is storing stuff up for the future not a wise thing to do? In my own life, I know that David and I have a savings account, which is good for a rainy day if the roof leaks or an appliance breaks, as they always seem to be doing. We're putting money away toward our retirement so that when we stop working and stop having regular income, we'll still be able to take care of ourselves. When our children were born, we started a savings account for their education. And boy, am I glad we did that, because the costs of college education continue to skyrocket. And so this parable makes me look at that and think, okay, is that wise stewardship? And then I think of our life together as a congregation, this endowment that we have. We have members who have passed away from our midst, who have made gifts to our congregation out of their wills and estates. And their hope is that their giving would support future generations of this congregation. And we use that endowment to give scholarships, to repair the roof and the flooding when the fourth story floods, to do good things in the community, to support missions and mercy and justice ministries. But most of it sits there. We use 3.5% every year because that's what you have to do with an endowment. And so does this parable push against that kind of practice? And with some pondering and prayer, I have to say, I don't think so. I think these kinds of savings and practices and endowments are wise stewardship. I think our forebears in this congregation were blessing us by giving us these gifts that can help sustain and grow our ministries in the future. So if that's not the problem, if the storing away and the saving of this grain is not necessarily a problem, then what's going on with this rich man? Why does Jesus have the voice of God saying in this parable, "You fool"? Why is he foolish? Well, we scrape away another layer of the parable, and we read this. Well, this is what jumped out at me. So his lands produce more, and he sees he's got this great bumper crop, and he's thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul," you get the point? To quote another cartoon character, Daffy Duck, in Duck Season, Rabbit Season, aha! Pronoun trouble. If anybody remembers that, that's such a great scene. all of the pronouns are first person singular. It's I, me, and mine. This farmer or this landowner looks at all of this abundant crop as his own, to do with as he pleases, and his choice is to store it up so that in the future he will have abundant goods and he can say to himself, eat, drink, and be merry. You have everything you need. It's all about him and his pleasure and his satisfaction. Not once does he think about thanking God. The people in Jesus' audience when he told this parable would have understood this kind of abundance as a blessing from God. The earth, the rain, the sun, all of these gifts of God that are beyond the control of this landowner are what brought about this abundance. Not once does he stop to say, thank you, God. He doesn't even think to make his way to the temple and offer, make an offering of thanks to God. Never crosses his mind. Also never crosses his mind that the people who actually did the work on the land might also deserve some of the abundance. You know, he says, I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. Do you think this guy's actually going to get a hammer and go build his own barns? Even if he wanted to, he couldn't do it by himself. Obviously, he has people who work for him, who work with him, who toil over the land. He has those who would be the ones to tear down the barn and build the bigger ones, and yet the grain is still all his. No, Jesus says, this is foolishness. He says, so it is with those who are rich in possessions but are not rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? To acknowledge the blessings of God, to have a grateful heart, to hold our possessions loosely, to be willing to share the abundance with those around us. What if he had just sent everyone who worked for him home with an extra bag of grain, or made sure that their wages were living wages and above and beyond living wages? What if he shared the grain with those in the community who were hungry, who didn't have enough to eat? What if he held a great feast and invited the whole community? What richness he would have experienced in relationship and connection and the joy of generosity, but he didn't do any of that. And what makes him a real fool is that this is at its heart a spiritual issue. He's missing out on the whole purpose of life with God and with one another. And Jesus gives us a great clue that this is a spiritual issue. Because the man says to himself, after he has all of his grain around him, you can just picture him sitting by himself, surrounded by sacks full of grain, leaning back, eat, drink, and be merry, you're good for life. And he says, I will say to my soul, and that's the Greek word, psyche, which is where we get the word psyche. I will say to my soul, not just say to myself, not just say to my heart, but I'll say to the very deepest essence of my being, that piece of me that is supposed to be the very breath of God within me. I will say to my soul, you're good. All this grain, that's all you need. All you need is your stuff, and you'll be fine. Jesus says, you fool. And I hear that voice in the parable, not as a voice of anger and judgment, but a voice of sadness and grief. You fool. You've missed out on the abundant life that God has on offer for you and for all of us. The abundant life that helps us appreciate the gifts of the earth and the gifts of God, that inspires us to share and connect with each other and enjoy the community that comes from that. You fool. And for the rich man in the parable, that's his last day. You fool! This night your life is being demanded of you, and all of this grain around you is just gonna rot. It's not a very happy ending. And I remember that Jesus tells this parable because someone in the crowd has asked him, "Tell my brother to split the inheritance with me." And I think he wants to offer this man, you know, there's another way to joy and to abundant life. And it's the same for his disciples and everyone in that crowd. It's the same for all of us. There's another way. There's a better way. And thanks be to God, we have the opportunity to hear the story of this rich fool and to make different choices. And I know you do. I know you know that joy of gratitude and of sharing and of generosity. And I'm so grateful to be part of a faith community that celebrates that kind of richness toward God. May we grow ever richer toward God in all that we do. Thanks be to God. Amen.
One of the ways our souls can connect with God now and throughout history is by professing our creeds together. So if you'll rise in body or in spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal, we can profess the statement of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayer requests. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team who'll be praying for you throughout the week, you can write it on the gray card in your pew rack and put it in the offering plate in a few moments. If you're worshiping with us online, you can click the Contact Us link, and we will hold all of you in prayer this week. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abundance, we come to you today grateful for all you have given us. Lord, we have gadgets and gizmos aplenty and whosits and whatsits galore, and yet sometimes we feel unsatisfied. On one hand, we know the desire to be happy and to pursue beauty, and all that comes from you. And on the other hand, we struggle as we compare our wealth, success, and our lives to others. Give us your kingdom perspective, where our trust in you provides for our deepest need, where our own well-being is wrapped up in the well-being of others. Awaken us to the needs around us and help us discover daily the richness and the abundance of your love and peace. We pray for places today where there is poverty. Pave a way so that all people have enough. We pray for those grieving, that they would experience your comfort. And today we pray especially for those facing violence in their homes, communities, or churches, in words or in actions. We pray that they would know your peace that passes all understanding. Open our hearts today to hear your words of compassion and justice, that we may focus on the ways in which you intend us to live and be of service to you by serving the world. We pray all these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial position. So that we might continue our vital ministries here in Nashville and around the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the option listed on the screen or the chat. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, our very lives to God, who loves us unconditionally.
are the people of God, and we go forth from this place with songs of praises. May we be rich toward God, rich in generosity, rich in compassion, rich in justice and mercy, rich in love, and rich in joy. These are the blessings of God for you and for me and for all the world. Amen.